Amen. All right, take your Bibles this morning and make your way to Paul's gospel, to the book of or epistle to the Roman church, Romans in the 12th chapter. I dealt with Romans 12:1 last week, and let me just remind you of what that says. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to deal with verse 2 today and try to unpack that. Paul writes, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is the word of the Lord. I got a little reverb in here. Can you possibly pull that out? All right. Things that distract a preacher. There you go. Much better. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many of you saw my Facebook post from last Sunday. But I think it was time change messed you all up. Because it was dead as a doornail in here. As hard as I tried, as I told you one time during the sermon, I'm preaching better than you're responding. And so I was kind of disappointed after the service. I was walking through trying to think, Lord, you know, what did I do something wrong? Is there sin in Elizabeth's life that I need to deal with? You know, what's going on? Because is your spirit grieved with me? And I'm walking through just thinking and shutting off lights, turning off the heat. And all of a sudden I hear a little voice behind me, and it was Sam. And Sam said, "Dad, I never knew that you could worship God when you're not in church." He said, "That means when I'm on the trampoline with Ben and Emma, I'm worshiping God. Unless I'm doing something bad and then I'm sinning." And you said, "We either are sinning or we're worshiping God. There's no in between that." And he said this. He said, "Dad, that changes everything." So I went from being in the depths of despair to the mountaintop. And it wasn't just that. The rest of the day, Sam and I were traveling around and talking, and he kept bringing that up. And I went home and I saw a difference in him right away. He even volunteered to do Ellie's dishes after lunch. Now, I'll tell you what, if that ain't Jesus, I don't know what is, okay? Because him and Ellie have this constant thing going. But I want you to see the difference. I want you to see that this is a life-changing truth, amen, that I want to share with you today. And we shared with it last week about it is to be a whole life of worship. And you're either worshiping or you're sinning, and there's no in-between. And we're with that. And that's not to say that Sam's got this down perfect, right, Sam? Matter of fact, this week he teased his brother. I asked him if I could say this. This week he teased his brother. And then typical young man taking after his father, he tried to get out of it by not telling the truth. And I got a text from my wife, said, "Are you on your way home?" I said, "Yes." She goes, "Good, I'll save Sam for you." So I know that's usually not positive. So I got home, and here's one thing Sam said to me. He was upset. We talked about it. He was really upset. And I said, "Sam, what's going on?" And I asked Sam if I could share this. He said, "Dad," and he's crying. He said, "Here's the problem." He said, "God saved my soul, but he hasn't changed my heart." When is God going to change my heart? And I'm thinking, oof, wow, that's a great question. Let me get your mother in here, and we'll get someone spiritual to answer that question. But the thing that came to my mind was simply this. I said, "Sam, you're already on the way." I said, "And if you want to change heart, you need to ask for one. Because your Father in heaven knows how to give good gifts to his children. So ask God to change your heart." And we got to talking more. And the thing that really grieved him, this is how I know that there's a regenerate heart in there. He said this, "Dad, I'm so frustrated because I'm trying to save my skin instead of kill my sin." He said, "I need to get to the point that I'm crying over the fact that I sinned instead of crying over the fact that I'm going to get in trouble for my sin." I'm like, "Okay, Sam, could you preach for me this Sunday? Because I need to sit under some of that, brother. That's some good stuff." Amen? So that was what that verse 1 was all about. But today we're going to delve into verse 2. And I'm not gonna mislead you. I'm gonna leave that last little phrase about proving good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We're gonna let that one hang, and I'm gonna come back to that in a few weeks. Okay? But first of all, let me start with a with a test. You have an outline in your bulletin, so I want to encourage you to take your outline out, get something to write with. And you're going to need to do this straight away. We're going to open with this morning. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being perfect just like Jesus, or 10 being perfect just like Jesus, 1 being evil, the spawn of Satan, and then all the way in between, middle ground, be 5. When you think about yourself, and be honest with yourself, how good are you? How good are you really? What would you say on a scale of 1 to 10? I'm a horrible person, number 1, or I'm perfect, just like Jesus, number 10. And then here's the question I want you to answer. God, who sees all and knows who you really are, what do you put a circle around what you think God would say? Or write that in your outline. What do you think God would say of you? How good does God think that you are? And it's okay if those numbers are different. Okay, that's all right. Just all I want you to do is I want you to be honest. And I just want you to leave that there. And at the end of the teaching today, I'm going to come back to it, okay? So fill that out. Be brave, be bold, and be honest. And if you're not being honest, if you got a family member sitting next to you, maybe they could fill it out for you. All right, scale of 1 to 10. Let's jump right into this passage. Paul talked about, he said, I'm the mercies of God were the foundation that gives us the ability to get up on that altar and become a living sacrifice. And I was thinking about living sacrifice this week, and I'm not going to re-preach last week, but I came to realize, looking at the Bible, there's only 2 living sacrifices as far as people go. First one was Isaac. You remember that deal? He crawled up onto that altar, remember? And God provided a ram, and he got off of that altar. But the second one was Jesus. He laid himself down on that cross, and he died, but he was resurrected again, and he is a living sacrifice. And because of the living sacrifice of Jesus, the resurrection sacrifice of Jesus, who took care of all of the requirements of the new covenant, we now have the ability, through God's mercy, to be living sacrifices. You know what? Don't you love this about God? And this is how you know you're hearing false teaching. If someone preaches and says you need to go do something on your own, God never tells us to do something that he does not come first within us and already do it. That's the difference between Christianity and most other religions. It's do versus done. All other systems of faith says you got to do all this stuff. Christianity says it's all been done for you. Amen? Amen? So let's look at the negative imperative of this today. The negative command to come up on the screen. And the first thing we see is Paul opens right up. He says, because you're going to present your body a living sacrifice, which is the logical thing to do when God's mercy motivates you and gives you the ability. You present your body a living sacrifice, and then he says, therefore, don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to the world. That word there is conform. And then this is interesting. It says, be not conformed, this is interesting, to the, what's the word? World. And be not conformed to the world. But you know, there's 2 different words for world in the Greek. There's cosmos, which means the world system. And then there's aeon, which means the present age. And did you know this one? This was fascinating to me. This word is aeon. It says, don't let the world, this present evil age, with Satan as the prince and power of the air, are you with me this morning? He says, don't let that world press you into its mold. That's what God doesn't want. That's what Paul is telling them to be careful about here. Don't let this present evil age press you into its mold, to be conformed to it. Now, this was fascinating. This gets, some of you might be bored with this, but there's so much pregnant truth in here that I had to share some of it with you. When you go back and look at the grammar, here's the grammar of this word, conformed. The first thing is it's passive. It's passive in its voice. Say the verb, conformed, is passive schema. So what's that mean? It means simply this, you are not to do it. This isn't something that you go out and do. Say, hey, that looks good. I think I'm going to jump in the world's mold. I think that's what I'm going to do. No, you're not doing it. The world, check it out. The world's doing it to you. Y'all with that? It's a passive verb. That ought to scare you. Because it's saying, hey, the world is actively going after you to press you into its mold. And to let the church say what? Isn't that the truth? Anyone trying to, the world trying to press you into its mold this week? Good night. If it hasn't, you've been living under a rock. He said, hey, this is something that the world tries to do. This is not something that you do. You don't actively seek it out. This is something that the world actively seeks you out. This is done to the subject, not the subject of the sentence doing the action. Here's the second thing that's interesting. Not only is it the passive voice, but it's the present tense. It's currently. Check it out. The world is currently trying to press you into its mold, trying to do something to you. And then this is interesting. It's imperative mood, and that's a command form. So he's saying, hey, look, even though it's not an action on your part, you got a choice in this. You don't have to allow the world to press you into its mold. Isn't that, aren't you? I mean, you know what? It was worth coming to church today if you walked away just with that. I don't have to let the world press me into its mold. Amen? You don't have to either. That's why Jesus died. All right? Here's the next thing under the negative command. The word itself, conform, is the negative word there is schema. Which sounds like scheme, doesn't it? Matter of fact, in logic, I teach an intermediate logic course in school on Mondays, and I teach them the schema of a proposition. And the schema is the pattern. And we number them, and we give them a letter. And it's all some logic stuff, and it's confusing, but I just want them to recognize the pattern. The schema is literally, the word means pattern or mold, and it refers to the outer man, the part that you're seeing. Now, I've been in this church for going on 15 years. I was looking at some pictures the other day, and I noticed an amazing thing, Jim. I looked a little different when I came to this church in 2000 than I do now. There's a lot less hair, which grieves me. There's a lot of things that have changed about me over those years. And we all have a schema. It's the outer, right? And I guarantee you, your schema looks different at 17 than it's going to look at 70. You with me? Yeah. Huh? The outer man changes, doesn't it? And that's what this word schema or pattern means. And here's what Paul is saying here. It'll come up on the screen. Fill it in on your outline. Is don't let this evil, this present evil age, press you into its mold or pattern of thinking and living. Now, I want to give you an example of this. And let me have Sam and Joy come on up here. Sam and Joy, come on up here. And Sam, I want you to take this Play-Doh out. This is wonderful stuff. Elizabeth makes this at home, homemade, out of flour. And that's the kid's snack before bed. You don't think so? Come to my house before bed. You'll see some amazing things. All right, Sam, I want you to spread that out a little bit. Now, this is just good old-fashioned Play-Doh, right? Get it flat so we can put this on there. This is good old-fashioned Play-Doh, right? You see that? This is you and I. This is our schema. This is the outer man. And this right here, and I'm going to give this to Joy, this is the world's pattern, the schema of the world. And Paul says, don't be conformed, but the world is constantly trying to press you into its mold. So I want you to press the world's schema into the mold of Sam. There you go. Now pull that thing out of there and show us what we got. Well, Sam, you did a good job. It won't come off my brick. Help me out now. You can put it right back in here. Now hold that up, Joy. Hold that up, show everybody real high. Look at that. And does that look just like the mold? Does it? Are you with me? That's what the world's trying to do to you. That's exactly what the world is trying to do to you. And Paul's saying, hey, the world's coming at you with its mold, and it's going to cut you out if you let it. Y'all tracking with that? And this is what Paul says, don't let the world press you into its mold. Well, that indicates something, doesn't it? That indicates that I have a choice. Give you another example. Thank you for that, X. Don't go anywhere. I want you to hold this. All right, Sam, I want you to take this brick. Come over here. Okay, come here. Turn around and face it. It's very heavy. Hold it. Now, here's what I want you two to do. Very smart kids. They're homeschooled. They're sharp as a tack. Now, I want you to press the world's mold into that brick. Go ahead and cut me an X out of that brick with that mold. Go ahead. Ready? Y'all, they're watching you. Don't let me down, Joy. See if you can cut an X out of that brick. Push it down. Is it going to work? Why? Why can't you do it, Sam? I want an X out of the brick. It's what?
It's not mold.
It's not mold?
It's not hard. It's not soft.
Why is it not soft?
Because it's different.
How is it different?
I don't know.
What's the opposite of soft?
Hard.
It's hard. All right, give them a hand, would you? Now, I want you to notice something, Sam. Check this out. Why is it that we could do the Play-Doh with no problem, but we couldn't do the brick? We could not press the mold of the world into the brick. Sam said it. The brick is hard. It's been hardened. Here it is. You ready? What's a brick made out of, church? Clay. Some straw. A little bit of water. Could you mold that? Could you put an X on that and make an X? What's happened to the brick? It's been transformed. Check it out. It's been placed into an oven, and it has been transformed. And now the world's mold, check this out, can't touch it. Can't touch it. You're not making an X out of that brick. Why? It has gone into the fire, and it has come out different than it went in. Are y'all tracking with that? Check this out. God said, let us form man in our image. Satan came along and said, I will deform man by sin. The world says we must conform man in our image. Education says, let us inform man by knowledge. Society says we're going to reform man by our culture. But praise the Lord Jesus Christ comes along and he says, I'm going to transform man by my grace. Amen. And grace is like the brick. When you go into Jesus Christ in salvation, you come out different. And the world has no power to press its mold on you anymore. He said, well, preacher, I'm X'd out all over the place. Maybe that's on you. Maybe there's something with you say, preacher, just what Sam said to me, Danny, God has saved my soul. I want him to change my heart. How do I change my heart? And Sam, here's your answer. You need to have your mind, your thinker, transformed. Like that brick going in the oven. So that you become hardened to sin and softened to your Savior. Okay? So God presses you in his mold and protects you against the mold of the world. So here's a great transition. Here's the next word comes up here. Here's the positive command. He said, don't be conformed, schema, to the world, but be transformed. And that word is metamorpho, from which we get metamorphosis. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You think of a butterfly? And it's interesting. That deals with the inner man. And here's an interesting thought. Your schema is different at 17 than at 70. But check this out. Your morpho, the inner man, is exactly the same at 70 as it is at 17. It does not change outside of the gospel. It is the unchangeable. And I put it this way. The caterpillar has always had a butterfly inside of it. It's, oh, that's evolution. No, that's creation. The butterfly's always been there. God created it in that way. So the contrast there is that word but. You see that? But instead of being conformed to the world, but be transformed. And here's the interesting thing. Guess what? It's passive. It's a passive verb again. It is in the, it's an imperative mood, and it's also the present tense. Notice that. God is not saying, Winston, you go out and you transform yourself. That's your Christian duty. Listen, one of the things I do in preparing to preach a sermon like this is I pour myself into God's word and let God's word pour into me, and I meditate on that specific verse. Ask the Holy Spirit to open my eyes. And then as I'm doing, I call it chore work or just brainless work around the office and whatnot, I put on sermons. I'll look up Romans 12 and verse 2. I was telling Jim this. Some of my favorite preachers, they preach this passage and they're so angry. They're yelling at us, saying, you know, you need to think different. You're terrible. And finally, I had to turn it off. I said, these guys are making me mad. They're missing the whole import. There's no grace in anything that they're saying. And brothers and sisters, why is that important? Because grace is what changes you. Grace is what transforms you. They're just grabbing you and they're sticking you right back under the law and saying, get a hold of your flesh and do better. I don't know about you, but I ain't signing up for that course. I used to teach it, and I'm done with that. They can have their get under the law and do better. If I've read it right, Jesus died for me, And when he died for me so that I could get out from underneath that law. And I don't know about you, I'm not letting you or any other preacher put me back under law. And if they try, tell them a goodbye. It's about grace. Grace is what transforms. And this word here, metamorpho, literally means God is going to do it for you or to you. Just like the world is wanting to press you in its mold, God said, look, I'm going to transform you. And I'm going to do it. So what's my part? Just let him. Just let him. Just cooperate. Stop cooperating with the world. Get in Jesus like that brick goes in soft and comes out hard. Get in Christ. Know who you are in Christ and watch what God can do. You come out, God said, I will change you. I will transform your mind. Now, there should be a good question you're asking right here. And it's in your outline. And it's YBH. What's that stand for? Yeah, but how? Come to this church for any length of time, you're going to know that term. Yeah, but how? He gives you the answer. God's going to transform you, turn you into something of a different nature, going to take you from soft to hard, and here's how he's going to do it. What's it say right in the scripture? By the what? Renewing of your mind. That's your answer, Sam, what we talked about the other day. What you need is a renewed mind. When Sam said, God saved my soul but hasn't changed my heart, what he's saying is, I need my mind renewed. I need to come out of spending time with Jesus hardened to sin and softened to Savior. Y'all, is that hard to understand? I don't think it's hard to understand. Is that hard to understand, Sam? You got to renew your mind, okay? What does that look like? That's a good question. Here, look at the screen. There's a verse in Proverbs, and it's been taken out of context. It's been used in all kinds of motivational speaking. It'll come up on the screen here. It's Proverbs 23:7. You ever seen that before? For as he thinks in his heart, what? As a man, I like in the old King James, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'll tell you what, that sounds like some positive thinking mumbo jumbo, doesn't it? The only problem is this was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so maybe we ought to look at it. Maybe we ought to say, is there really something to this way that we think? So, in order to illustrate this for you, I need a volunteer. I need someone to help me out. Wow, look at all the hands going up. All right, Kia, here's what I need you to do. I just need you to go out on the front porch and just wait there because I'm going to give them some instructions and I'm going to bring you back in, okay? That's it. We're not used to seeing Kia this early, so it'll just be like normal. No, that's terrible. Memory, you should not say that. That's not nice. And then, Mike, I'm going to have you jump up and get her in just a minute. And go where you can't hear me, Kia. She comes back in. When you see me do this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at her. It's going to sound silly. Don't say a word, but I want you to look at her, and I want you to think all the most positive things you can. You're beautiful. You're strong. She just come through cancer. You can do it. God loves you. All the most positive things that you can come up with. And just look at her in her eyes and think that. Okay, you got it? That's this. When I go like this, I know it's adverse to some of you. Others have a master's degree in it. I want you to think the negative thoughts. Seriously. I want you to think terrible things and look right at her and think those terrible. You're never going to make it. You're a loser. Nothing you do is ever going to. I said, oh, we can't do that. Just trust me. Okay? So this is negative. And I want you to do it. I want you to look right at her and think negative. And this is positive. You got me? All right, go get her, Mike. Bring it back in. And I'm going to show you the power of your, not even her thoughts, your thoughts on another person. And then I want to challenge you with what that might look like in your everyday life. Come on in, Kia. You're the next contestant on renewing your mind. Come right up here to the front. Come on down. Yeah, I need a, what do they call that person that does that on the game show? MC. I need an MC. That's what I need. All right, this is Kia, and I was telling them a little bit about you while you were out there. And all I want you to do is hold your arm straight out towards me, just this arm. No, just like that, okay? And I'm going to push down, and I want you to push back. Can you do that? So you push back, don't let me push it down, all right? Here we go. You can see them handsome people? Yeah.
Oh, loud.
Look at that. All right, hang on. Ready? Mm-hmm. Look at those good-looking people. See that? You lose that strength right there, don't you? All right, you sit down. You know what? That works every time. You say, what happened? If you could feel what I was feeling, she was trying her hardest. I couldn't budge her before. But when I did this, here's what we were doing. When I went like this, everyone was thinking positive things about you. It's in their mind telling you that you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you can do anything. When I went like this, they changed that to negative thinking towards you. And I'm telling you, you wish you could be me. You could feel the strength leave her arm. Now, that bothers me until I came across this verse. As a man thinks in his heart, what? Imagine this. And I don't know what the explanation for that is, but I've seen it done many times, and it always works. Is that creepy? Think about this. Hold on. Stay with me. If our thoughts can affect her physical strength, and I think that's done just through a negative spirit. Do you believe in a negative spirit?
Yes.
Do you ever come home? You ever walk? Elizabeth, I can't look at her. Does anyone? It never happens for me. Happens to Charlie. Do you ever come? You ever walk home in the house and you just walk in? You don't even see anybody. It's like eggshells. Not good. Think happy thoughts. You ever do that? What is that? It's a negative spirit. Another way you know that's going on is when you hear, you'll never believe what your child did today. That's the cause of it. It's your kid. Never heard that and it was something positive. They cleaned up their room. No, that was my child. But that negative, and imagine this. Think about this. When you got a child and you just have a problem with that child, and you would never say it to them, but you think those things, do you not think it affects them? And here's the whole reason I brought, and Kia, thank you so much for being brave to do that. Here's the whole reason I brought her up here. If our thoughts have that effect on her, what do her thoughts have on her? What do her thoughts have on her that cause her to be powerless? That cause her to be discouraged? How many of you know that your own worst enemy is you? Huh? Isn't that the truth? It's absolutely amazing the way that we talk to ourselves. And we all talk to ourselves. Now, my brother David, he has multiple conversations with himself. You ought to see him watching TV. He's in there laughing, talking to himself. He does not need the commentator on football. He is the commentator and a referee. It's entertainment. The guy talks to himself all the time. But he's not the only one. Let's go to that next screen. Dave's not the only one that talks to himself. We all talk to ourselves. The question I want to ask you today is, what are you saying? And it's right in your outline this morning. What are you saying to yourself? And here's the truth. I was challenged with this by a Buddhist a week ago. And she said this, and I couldn't believe it. She said, we say things to ourselves that we would not say to our worst enemy. Have you ever said this to yourself? I am so stupid. I am such a jerk. I'm a failure. I'm no good at anything. I'm worthless. Would you ever say that to anybody else?
No.
I mean, even your enemy, you wouldn't talk like that. But we say that to ourselves. And I want to challenge you with this thought. Is it true? And if you think it's true, we got a bigger problem than you initially thought. Because in Christ, we are none of those things. You with me? What does that look like? Here's the next thing on there. Preacher, what do I do with that? It's very simple. You replace the lie, that's the X, with the truth. You tracking with me? You replace the lie with the truth. Check it out. Here's the bottom line. You cannot have a transformed life with a trash-filled mind. I don't know how many people I've talked to and even thought it myself on occasion. You know what? This Christian life thing, I see it works for some people. It just don't work for me. Why? Because all the trash in my mind is keeping me from being transformed into the image of Christ. I'm letting the world press me into its mold. By the way, where do you think all those negative thoughts are coming from? Those aren't coming from Jesus. He died for you. He adores you. I stood up in front of our high school assembly Monday, and I said, Some of you out here think that you're just a miserable wretch and that God couldn't even love you. And I said, I want to tell you something. You are God's favorite. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus. You are God's favorite. And there was a senior in the back row, and she just burst out crying. She's bawling. And she texts me later. She goes, I'm telling you, I love the Lord with all my heart, but I have just wanted to die lately. I can't seem to do anything right. And when you sat there and said that God is my favorite, I felt the love of God just fill me up, and it gave me hope for the rest of this year and the rest of my life. The power of our words are incredible. You just take the lie and you replace it with the truth. I got a new abbreviation for you. It's WTLL. WTLL. We got YBH, and that's for what? Yeah, but how? But WTLL, what did that look like? What did that look like? Here's what that looks like. Here's what it looks like. I'll never change. You ever said that to yourself? You know what? As you're sitting there eating the fifth Twinkie in a box, I'll never change. I'm never going to lose weight. I have no self-control. I had to go on 2 diets just to get enough to eat. I mean, it's terrible. You know, I'm never going to change. I'm always going to be a Twinkie addict, and nothing's ever going to change that. That's a lie. I'm never going to change. That is a lie. You know how I know that? Because here's the truth. The truth is, if any man be in Christ, he'll never change. Is that what it says? If any man be in Christ, he is a what, church? A brand new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He's new. We are changed, and it's cool. Look at the verbiage there. It's already. We are already a brand new creation. We just got to get our mind trained to catch up with it, to catch up with the truth. And every time you look at yourself and say, oh, I'm worthless, I'm no good, replace it with the lie. What do you say that? I am currently a new creation. I am already changed. I just got to let my mind catch up with my actions. And by the way, I want to tell you something. It's easier to think your way into an action or it's easier to act your way into a feeling than to feel your way into an action. You say, you know what? And here's how this works. We think, oh, I'll never change. No, wait a minute. No. I am currently a new creation in Jesus Christ. I am a new creation. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation, a whole new kind of person. I already am that person. I've already changed. What have I just done? I have replaced the lie with the what? And my mind is being transformed. You talk to yourself like that, and I guarantee you, you get out of bed different in the morning. And you start to look, smell, and act a lot more like Jesus. And what does this world need? What do you need? We need to look more like Jesus, and that's what Paul is saying in this epistle here. We need to get our mind out of the gutter and onto an empty tomb. And the fact that Jesus rose again and he is crazy about us because of the Father's love and the sacrifice of the Son, and I am not worthless, I am worth the blood of Jesus. How about that? And by the way, when the devil comes and reminding you of his past, just remind him of his future. Okay? And it's okay to say this. You can tell him to go right back to hell where he came from, because that's where he's going. Don't let him get in your head. Get the word in your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. And not to put any burden on you this morning, but I want to tell you, beloved, when we call ourselves things, when we agree with the enemy and say that we're worthless, we're stupid, we're a failure, and we'll never change, that's not hiding God's word in our heart. That's being pressed into the mold of the world. Oh, don't do it. Renew your mind. And when you renew your mind, you will be transformed. Does that make any sense? Is that hard to understand? Do we have to yell at each other in order to get that and be told you're a terrible person, you got to stop doing this and that and the other thing in order to renew your mind? No, they don't even get it. It's a passive verb. God does the work for you as soon as you stop trying to do the work for yourself. God's not saying to you, Sam, now Sam, you get home and you practice being nice to Ben. You work really hard and you try really hard to be. That's not what God's saying. You know what God's saying? Sam, I love you. I sent Jesus to die for you. you're my favorite. Because you're my favorite, I want you to treat Ben the way I've treated you. And just let me do that through you today. Can we do that today? His little mind is transformed. Y'all catching that? I'm not making this stuff up, and neither was Paul. And Paul puts a safeguard in there in the next verse, in case we start walking around thinking we're all that in a bag of chips. There's verse 3, okay? But that's done in a proper context. It's understanding God's giftings. But here's the thing. I don't think anyone is in danger of thinking too highly of themselves. I think the real danger for most of us as we navigate this world is agreeing with the enemy about who we are and disagreeing with God. I don't know about you. How about we turn that around today? How about we just turn that around and say, you know what, Satan? I'm done agreeing with you. I'm going to agree with God. You say, well, preacher, I don't quite know how to do that. That's why there's another handout in your bulletin this morning. And it's front and back, 2 pages, and it's my identity in Jesus Christ. And this is not exhaustive. There's a lot more than this. This is just a little bit of a list to get you going. You start telling yourself this stuff every day. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am blessed and highly favored. God loves me. I am eternally secure. I am free from the power of sin. I am dead with Christ on the cross and resurrected with him in newness of life. There's all kinds of scriptural affirmations there. That's what we need to be talking to ourselves. That's what we need to be telling ourselves. And if you will do that, you will hide God's word in your heart and your mind will be transformed. You'll come out of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as hard as a brick, and the world can press on you all it wants to, and eventually the mold is going to break. And you know what that sounds like? And the gates of hell will not prevail against the attack of God's kingdom. That's what we need. I need that. And I got a sneaking suspicion you need it as well. Let me land this plane. Here comes the landing gear. You can hear it coming out. Let me just land this plane to tell you, here's what it looks like. First of all, when we're conformed to this world, it looks like compromise. It looks like compromise. We compromise, and it leads to conformity, just like that Play-Doh X, which ultimately leads to collapse. Think about it. Just trace it back in your own life. The dumbest things you ever did is because you agreed with the enemy. True or false? Here's what it looks like on the flip side, the transformation thing. It's dedication. My life's a living sacrifice. God allows me and motivates me to do that through his mercy. Dedication leads to discernment. I'm useless. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, I'm not useless. I'm valuable. God so loved the world, me. Sent his son to die for me. Useless? Are you out of your mind? I'm not useless. You have discernment as the word of God, and that leads to delight in God's will. See the difference? Last thing, scale of 1 to 10. Remember that? Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you saw a picture of a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer is conformity. All it does is tells it rises and falls with the temperature around it. Thermostat sets the temperature. Thermostat's a transformer. Thermometer is a conformer. God says, you know what? You're not a thermometer anymore. You're a thermostat. Let's change this culture by changing our minds. Scale of 1 to 10, how good are you? I'm going to give you my answers. How good am I? My assessment, 10. You say, well, preacher, we've always known you got a pride problem. No, I'm a 10. I'm as good as Jesus. You say, preacher, you're talking blasphemy now. No, it's so sad today in a church that when the truth of that is stated, that it's considered heresy. And it is that truth that has gone missing that has caused us to live and wallow in the gutter instead of live like the sons and daughters of the King. Hey, listen, what does God think of me? 10. Why? Because when he looks at me, he doesn't see Paul Jettle. And it's not that he's senile. It's that literally the Bible says, I am hidden in Christ, in God. Colossians, I am seated where? In the heavenly places, in Christ. Not later, now. And when God looks at Paul Jettle, he doesn't see the stupid things I did even just this morning. He doesn't see that. He sees his son. I'm his favorite. He says, you know what? You are perfect. He says, can that really be true? Yes. Jesus took my imperfect record. Not just the sins I committed yesterday, the ones I'm going to commit today, but the ones I'm going to commit tomorrow until the day that I die. And the Bible says he covered them. The writing, handwriting of ordinances that was against us, he wiped them out of the way. He covered them with his blood. And he took Satan as a captor and said, you lose. And I got Jesus' perfect record. Did Jesus ever break any law? No, that's my record. See, because I went into Jesus Christ through faith in him. I was placed into Jesus. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. In the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 and 20. I am in Jesus, and I'm a 10. God says so, and I say so. And I just want to say to you, I'm not setting you up, but if your numbers and God's numbers are not both 10, there's some transforming of your mind that needs to take place, and it needs to take place today. Is that clear? I want us all to stand. Joseph's going to come. He's going to sing one of my favorite songs, I Need You. How many of you know that you're not going to do this transforming of the mind thing that without Jesus? He's the one that's going to do it. It's passive. It's passive. Jesus wants to transform your mind. And I want you to let him. I want you to stop letting the world press you into its mold like this X. You're not Play-Doh. You're a brick when you have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Some of you here today say, preacher, there was no 10 anywhere near my assessment of myself or even what I think God thinks of me. It's okay. We've all been there. But now you've heard the truth. And I want that truth to transform you today. Amen? I don't know where you are. I don't know what God's speaking to your heart about. But I know that we need to do some business with him. And I want you to commit to allow. I don't want you to go do anything. All I want you to do is be open to taking those affirmations I've given you.